Chapter 11. Cass gasped, and she reached up to cover her mouth with her hand as her violet eyes locked on mine. Then the Valkyrie pointed and shook her head. I closed my eyes and shook mine back. I had no idea how it was possible, but the man was standing right there. From the long, curly orange hair to the dark blue eyes, the elf was exactly the same. Yet it couldn't be. It was eerie seeing the man I'd just killed walking around as if nothing had happened, and I racked my brain and tried to figure out what could be going on. He was a sorcerer, so could he have possibly figured out a way to avoid my attack? Did he somehow make me think I'd killed him when I hadn't? I shook that thought out of my head. There was no way that happened. I knew I'd killed him. I'd decapitated the bastard, but then how? How is this asshole standing in front of me? My eyes scoured the elf for anything that might give me some sort of clue as to how this was possible, and the more I looked at him, the more I realized this couldn't possibly be the same man as before. The outward appearance was uncanny, and I suspected the two were most likely twins. But other than their features and voice, nothing was the same. The man we'd fought a couple of days ago had worn immaculate clothes, with gold clasps and an orange cape to match his hair. But this man wore only a simple dark green tunic and black pants. A plain broadsword dangled from his hip, but there were no other weapons I could see, and the top half of his curly orange hair was pulled back into a braid to keep hair from getting in his eyes. The man's voice wasn't nearly as effeminate as his brother's either, and he moved with more purpose and precision, where his brother had walked with a feminine sway of his hips. This brother was clearly the manlier of the two, and I wondered if he was a sorcerer as well, or if he relied solely on his strength in battle.
"What's that?"
the dark-haired elf asked.
"I was told something went wrong at my brother's place,"
the elf said, and he looked around nonchalantly.
"Do you have any information regarding his death?"
"Can't say I do."
The dark-haired elf shook his head.
"What do you care, anyway? You hadn't talked to him in years."
"Maybe not,"
the orange-haired elf shrugged.
"But he was still my brother."
The other elf mused as he lifted the last cage into the back of the cart. So, the elf knew about us killing his brother. If that was the case, he was more of a threat than I thought. I couldn't have him or the man who worked for the king letting any of the other dealers in the area know about what we'd done. If word got out we were killing dealers, they'd take extra precautions to make sure they weren't caught, and I wanted them to think they were safe, as they'd always been. I glanced over to the girls, and Ira's green eyes locked on mine. She narrowed them to slits, and then flashed them over to the orange-haired elf. I nodded before I looked at the rest of the girls. Asta, Cass, and Prena each nodded back, and I turned to face our opponent. It was time to take out these sorry assholes. I was sure, as soon as we attacked, whatever guards were in the area would be called down to assist. But there were five of us, plus the dragons, so I knew we could take whatever came our way. Blah's grip tightened on my shoulder and hip as I pulled out my sword and stepped forward. It was strange to know my opponent wasn't able to see me, but I took full advantage of that and made my way over to the tall, lanky elf. I readied my sword, but just as I reared back, he ducked down. The orange-haired man threw his hand out toward me, and tangerine-colored sparkles flew all around. I didn't know much about magic, but I knew he'd just removed my invisibility spell. It didn't matter. I still had my blade at the ready, and I quickly swung low to try and get the man's shins, since most enemies didn't expect a swing like that. This elf was prepared, though, and he jumped back and rolled out of the way. When he got back on his feet, he had his sword out, and he held it up to me before he cocked a lopsided smile my way.
"You must be one of those dragon-loving assholes."
"That's me,"
I grinned mockingly and adjusted my stance.
"It
seemed this guy was actually going to be a worthy opponent.
"It was those bastards who killed my brother,"
he said, and he dove forward to swing at me, but I blocked his blow and pushed him away with my sword.
"Know anything about that?"
"I do, actually," I said, and I gestured to Blar on my shoulder. The little blue dragon let out a massive fire blast right at the man, but the orange-haired son of a bitch was quick, and he used his magic to throw up an invisible shield.
"I thought you might. Hua!"
he said as he attempted to cast some sort of spell in my direction, but he wasn't the only one who was quick. I tucked and rolled to the side, and then I sprang up a few feet away from him, while Blah hovered just overhead. I glanced to the stairs, only to realize I couldn't see the girls any longer, probably because I'd been removed from the spell.
"Enough of this,"
the dark-haired elf said, and he walked toward me with his blade at the ready.
"I can't be late to the palace."
The elf took another step, only to fall flat on his face. His sword clambered to the ground in front of him, and I quickly kicked it out of his way before he could raise himself up onto all fours.
"Ah! What the fuck?"
he growled, and he looked around with narrowed black eyes.
"You should be more careful, Keelan,"
the orange-haired man sneered without looking away from me.
"You're not much help in battle, are you?"
"Fuck off!" the dark-haired elf spat, and he stood up and wiped the blood from his mouth.
"Someone tripped me."
"Tripped you?"
the sorcerer asked, and his dark blue eyes narrowed on his customer. I stepped forward to stab at the elf, but before I could, he spun around and cast orange sparkles all around. Suddenly the girls came into sight. Ira stood just behind the orange-haired man, while Kaz and Asta were on either side and just behind the dark-haired elf. Prena was still over by the staircase, but from her stance with her arms held up, it was clear she was in the middle of casting some sort of spell.
"I see,"
the orange-haired man scoffed.
"I thought this would be a quick fight, but it seems you were trying to rely on little girls to do your bidding. No matter. I'll have my guards handle them while I slice you to pieces.
Guards!"
"I wouldn't underestimate them if I were you." I smiled and lowered my stance so I could take whatever he threw at me.
"Oh, I don't underestimate them. But I know my own strength, and I know they're no match for me."
"You don't know a damn thing,"
Prena said, and she walked up behind me.
"Hmm. So you do have a sorcerer,"
he said, and the way he looked Prena up and down made me want to skin him right there.
This should be more interesting than I thought.
10 guards came barreling down the steps then, but I nodded to Ira, and the redhead brought her sword down toward the boss while I rushed toward him. The orange-haired elf spun round to catch Ira's sword with his own, which left his back exposed just as I'd planned. But as soon as I reached him, he vanished.
"Ha! Looking for me?"
his voice asked from behind, but Blah let out a massive fire blast, and I heard the elf curse before he disappeared and reappeared near the other elf's cart.
"Your teleportation is weak."
Prena laughed, and suddenly the elf began to swirl with her golden magic sparkles.
"And you're better than I anticipated."
"He can't teleport any longer,"
Prena told me.
"He's all yours now."
I smiled at the sorceress, and then charged toward the orange-haired man. The guards rushed down, and Ira took on 2 of them, while Prena and Asta stepped up as well. Kaz was locked in battle with the dark-haired elf, but Ufe blasted the guards with his fire and hurtled rocks directly at their heads. My team had the guards taken care of, and from the way the orange-haired man backed up toward the castle steps, it looked to me like he was about to try and run. Without his teleportation, he probably wasn't confident enough that he would win, so he figured it was better to not fight at all. It wasn't an idiotic plan, but it wasn't a brave one either.
"Where are you headed?"
I laughed as I hurried after the bastard.
"Just getting a leg up,"
he said, and then he turned round and jumped down the stairs toward me with his blade lifted high above his head. I thrust my sword up and half expected to be able to get him in the stomach like I would most other opponents. But he was faster than I gave him credit for, and he managed to bring his blade down before I could make contact. The metal of our swords made a hideous screeching noise as they ground against each other, and the force of the bastard's jump pushed me to my knees. When I looked up into his dark blue eyes, it was clear he was enjoying himself. There was a wicked smile on his face, and I knew right then that this move had worked for him before, and he fully expected to be able to kill me. I wasn't a regular citizen who didn't know what they were doing, though. I was a trained Asgardian warrior, and I wasn't about to go down that easily. "I killed your brother," I said with a smile. The man's eyes widened slightly, and his shock distracted him long enough that he lost his initiative, and I was able to shove my blade upward with enough force to trip him against the stairs behind him. He slammed into the stone, and I saw him grit his teeth and tense his body before he got up to his feet. I knew that fall hurt, and I couldn't help but relish in the knowledge for just a second.
"You?"
the orange-haired man asked as he stood up.
"You killed my brother?"
"You mean the arsehole who looks just like you, only prettier?" I asked with a sarcastic smile. "Yeah, I took him out a couple of days ago. Got all his men, too. And I released every last one of his dragons from that shithole barn he had them in."
"I will kill you in the name of Seaman," he growled, and his lip curled with hatred.
"Well, wait. Your brother's name was Seaman?"
"You dare speak his name?"
The man's lips twitched. I was just wondering. I baited him as we started to circle each other on the large landing of the mansion's stairs. "How did your brother wind up in such a disgusting place to begin with? You've got this nice mansion here, and I can't help but think you should have shared. That's your brother, after all."
"You don't know what you speak of."
I could tell my words were getting to him, which was exactly what I wanted. I didn't care about his brother in the slightest, but from the way he'd talked to the other elf, I knew it was a sore spot with him. If I could use his feelings to distract him from our fight, I would. The less focused he became, the more likely I could get a shot on him. "Oh, maybe," I shrugged. "But I do know that I chopped your brother's head clean off and watched the life drain from his eyes." The elf said nothing, but I saw his lips twitch again, and he reared his sword back and let out a terrible screech as he ran toward me. I was standing near the steps as he came toward me, so I adjusted my stance just slightly, and when he was nearly to me, I pivoted to the right. He wasn't able to stop himself, and his momentum carried him down the small flight of stairs as he tumbled to the ground in a heap of orange hair and gangly limbs. I nodded to Blah, and the little dragon let out a massive blue fire blast, but the elf was quick, and once again he threw up a shield to block Blah's fire. He probably learned that trick a long time ago, being in the line of work he was in, and I was surprised his brother hadn't known it as well.
"You son of a bitch!"
He stood up and wiped blood from his mouth. His hands and face were scratched up from his fall, but I still hadn't managed to land a single blow, and my technique of distracting him so he'd get sloppy didn't seem to be working as well as I'd hoped. "All right, time to get serious." I nodded to Blar again, and the little dragon glanced down at me and nodded back. The orange-haired elf ran up the stairs toward me, and judging by the snarl curling his lip, he was clearly upset with my taunting. Oh, perhaps my plan was working better than I thought. "Fuck you!" I spat, and I raised my blade above my head as if I were going to come down on him. But as soon as he made it to me, I swung sideways and caught him in the ribs.
"Ah, shite!"
he cursed and dropped his weapon. Before he could pick his sword back up to defend himself, I swung again, and this time I landed a blow on his leg. Blood poured from his wounds and ran down the steps, but he gritted his teeth and held his hand up. Suddenly, I was immobilized in an orange glow, and I knew he'd cast some sort of spell on me. Blah came down on him, but instead of using his fire, the little dragon tore at him with his talons and teeth, long enough to distract the elf from the spell he was casting on me. I was able to move again, and with one powerful blow I swung my sword and nearly cut the man in half at the waist. Blood spilled from his mouth as he looked up at me with dark blue eyes draining of their light, and I thought about this fuck and everything he and his brother had done to the innocent dragons. He deserved to die, and I was happy to be the one who took his life. Blood pooled round his teeth as he sneered at me again, but I just thrust my sword harder to the left, so it dug even further into his body, and his mouth opened wide as he gripped onto my blade in some sort of attempt to save his pitiful life.
You'll never stop us,
he gasped, but then the light completely disappeared from his eyes, and I yanked my sword back and watched as his corpse fell to the ground. As soon as he was defeated, I ran down to the girls. Ira sliced the last guard through the throat as I made my way down the steps, and the redhead spun round quickly, clearly thinking I was an enemy.
Oh, wrath!
She breathed, and she lowered her weapon. Oh, it looks like you're all done here, I said as I looked round.
Ira just took out the last one,
Asta explained, and the elf girl's white hair looked more pink than white now that it was stained with blood. I smiled as I looked round at the women. All of them were covered with blood, except for Prena, who only had a drop or two on her legs, and that clearly wasn't from her fighting, but rather from blood spray all around her. Kaas's face had a massive streak of red across it, which tapered down to her chest and then faded off round her hip. The sweet Valkyrie looked up at me and smiled wide, which only added to the contrast between her outward blood-drenched appearance and her very sweet nature. Ira didn't have much blood on her face or body, but her arms and hands were coated with the red sticky liquid, since she preferred closer hand-to-hand combat. Then a feeling of dread hit me like a sudden tidal wave, and I realized it was coming from the baby dragons in the cages. Oh, we should get them out of there, I said with a gesture to the cart.
Of course.
Kaas started toward the cart, but she stopped short when Prena called her name.
Perhaps it would be better if we were to clean ourselves out first. Clean ourselves?
Kaas's eyebrows pulled together when she looked at Prena's pristine appearance, but then she looked down at herself and her eyes widened to saucers.
Oh, yes, I think you're right. Just one moment,
Prena said, and she gestured for all of us to come forward. We gathered round in a small circle, and Prena closed her eyes and muttered something in the old language. A second later, golden sparkles swirled up from around her to cascade over us all like tiny shooting stars, and I watched the girls as the blood dissipated from them in a matter of seconds. Oh, well, thank you, I told Prena.
Of course.
The blonde councilwoman nodded and then gestured to the cart.
Let's get them out of there.
Right, I agreed. I slowly made my way over to the cart, but before I lifted the covers off the cages, I spoke softly to the little dragons inside. I'm here to help you. You're safe now. The first cover I lifted up revealed a small peach-colored dragon with brown eyes that reminded me of Prena's. Hello, little girl, I whispered with a smile, and I bent down so I was level with her. I'm Roth. We've come to take you back home. Blah cocked his head to the side and then jumped down from my shoulder and walked over to the cage. He lay down and let out a small sigh, which somehow seemed to calm the little female dragon down. Her energy was no longer as frightened as it had been. Now she was growing curious, and I could tell she wanted to trust me. Here, I said, and I opened the cage. I'm going to let you out, but don't try to fly away. We're going to get you back to Dragon Valley very soon. The peach-colored baby looked over at Blah, but then she nodded at me and stepped forward. I carefully opened the cage, and she stepped out and walked over to sniff Blah.
My goodness,
Prana said from behind me, and I glanced back to see all the girls were crowded around. I chuckled softly and shook my head. Of course they were right there. I didn't expect any of them to miss the freeing of baby dragons. Though I probably should have asked for some space to help put the babies at ease. Still, they didn't seem to be bothering this little girl, and sometimes I felt like a calming female presence helped the little ones feel more at ease, since most of them had just been separated from their mothers. I could calm them down quite well, and they trusted me, but trusting me and feeling as comfortable with me as they did with their mothers were two totally different things.
You are just beautiful,
Prana told the little girl with a smile, and the tiny dragon let out a small coo, but then turned away as if she were embarrassed.
Oh, she's so cute,
Asta whispered, and I could hear the strain in her voice as she tried to hold back her excitement. I focused on the next cage, then the next, and before long I had six small dragons free. They stayed in the back of the cart, but they were gathered close to the edge, so they could receive pets and compliments from the girls.
Rat,
Cass said, and she grabbed my bicep and gently led me away from the cart.
What should we do about this place?
I pursed my lips. Oh, you're right, we need to make this look like some sort of deal gone wrong.
That's what I was thinking.
She nodded. At first, we need to make sure there are no other dragons inside.
Right.
You all stay with the babies. I'll be right back.
Are you headed into the castle?
Prana asked as she walked over to us with the little peach-colored baby in her arms. Yeah, I am. I'm just going to make sure there are no other dragons inside.
Let me assist. I can cast a spell.
We were up against a sorcerer just now. He may have enchanted wherever they were kept.
Ah, yes, you're correct.
Prana nodded.
But do allow me to come with you at least?
All right, I said, and I gestured to the baby in her arms. I doubt she wants to go back inside, though, so it's probably best to leave her here.
Of course.
Prana agreed, and she lifted the little girl up to kiss the top of her head, and then handed her to Cass.
Stay here. We'll return in a few moments.
The little girl looked somewhat sad, but she nodded anyway. And I couldn't help the smile that came over my face at how good Prana was with the baby dragon. The peach-colored girl clearly liked the sorceress, and I reminded myself how fortunate we were to have her with us for the day. I'd been hesitant at first, but Prana's abilities had come in handy, and she was doing exceptionally well comforting the babies. She made a wonderful member of the team. After she passed off the baby, she turned to me and nodded, so we headed up the stairs until we came to a large set of double doors that led inside. All right, let's make this quick. We don't want to keep the babies waiting to get home.
Right.
Prana nodded.
I'm ready whenever you are.
All right, let's go, I said, and I pushed open the doors and ran inside. I led Prana down the first hallway I saw, and I opened the doors on the left while she opened the ones on the right. Luckily, the building wasn't as large on the inside as it seemed to be on the outside. There was a lot of open area that was just sitting rooms or dining rooms, which didn't require much searching. The last place we searched was the lower level, and it was clear that was where the dragons were kept. An entire wall was lined with small cages perfectly sized for baby dragons, and I scowled at the sight.
I can't imagine how many children have been locked in here,
Prana whispered, and she gently placed her fingers between her collarbones.
It just absolutely infuriates me.
I hadn't expected that last part, but I also wasn't totally surprised by it either. As much as the dragon trade saddened me, it infuriated me all the same, and I wanted to kill every last one of the bastards who participated in the barbaric custom. Yes, I understand. But it will soon be over. I'm not going to stop until every last dragon is free and every last dealer is dead.
I know.
Prana smiled, and the expression was equal parts soft and surprisingly bloodthirsty.
And I very much look forward to that day.
I was about to respond, but then a feeling came over me, and I paused to open myself up to it further. There was a sense of fear, but also curiosity. There's a baby here.
Oh, goodness.
Prana whispered, and she started to look around frantically.
I didn't see anything.
I don't see them either. I assured her, but then I closed my eyes and focused on the feeling of the little dragon. I allowed the sensation to lead me to them, and after a moment I opened my eyes and found myself crouching down near a large chest. What the? I undid the clasp and opened the chest to see a large green egg.
Another egg? You could feel this one as well.
Oh, it's the same as the other. I shook my head. This baby is about to hatch.
They must have taken him at that point on purpose. They probably watched the mothers and waited until the eggs were ready.
I think you're right. They knew if the babies were about to hatch, they'd likely have to come out since they were no longer dormant. They stole them at this crucial moment so they could have them freshly hatched without having to do the work of stealing a baby instead of an egg.
Ugh, the bastards.
Prayna sneered, and something about her face contorted with anger made my stomach flip with excitement. She was gorgeous, but she was even sexier when she was passionate about something. Come on, I said as I patted the egg carefully and then closed the lid of the trunk again. Let's get this little guy back home. Prayna nodded, and I picked up the trunk and led us out of the small castle and back to the cart.
What did you find?
Cass asked with a frown as her violet eyes landed on the trunk I was carrying. There's an egg in here. It's about to hatch, and we need to get him home.
Okay,
the sorceress said with a nod, but then she closed her eyes and shook her head.
You know, it's bad enough they're stealing babies, but stealing eggs too? They aren't even hatched yet. What good are they to them?
I can feel this one, just as I could the silver baby.
What?
She gasped, and her violet eyes widened.
You can feel this baby too?
Asta asked, and her white eyebrows pinched together.
So they stole him at the same time as whoever stole the little silver dragon? Oh, they must know when they're close to hatching.
Yeah, I believe so, I nodded. Dragon eggs can be dormant for centuries, as we all know. However, it seems once they get past a certain age, they need to hatch, and the dealers have figured this out.
They're purposely taking them so they'll hatch already in captivity?
Kasa's fist clenched as she spoke. I believe so. But now we know what they're doing, which means we're one step ahead of them.
All right.
Ira agreed, and she gestured to the mansion behind me.
What are we going to do with this place?
I turned around and looked at the beautiful house built of white stone, but all I could see was the torment that must have taken place inside it. I couldn't imagine how many baby dragons were kidnapped and kept here before being shipped off to the king or some other asshole who wanted them for himself. Burn it, I whispered through gritted teeth.
Burn it?
Yes. We'll destroy all traces of us here, and it will look like some sort of deal gone wrong.
I like it.
The redhead nodded.
Especially since we took out one of the king's men. It has to look like something happened with the dealer. Or like one of the mother dragons found them and went on a rampage.
Oh, yes, that sounds possible.
I think I can manage that. Stand back.
We all moved back toward the cart, but then Prayna turned around and blinked at Kass.
I didn't mean you, Caspier. The spell will be much easier with both of our powers. Oh, of course.
Kass said, and I could hear the smile she was trying to hide. The curly-haired sorceress stepped forward, and she and Prayna linked hands. The councilwoman muttered while Kass closed her eyes and focused, and a second later, red and gold sparkles swirled around them and floated up toward the castle. Several seconds went by, and Ira caught my eye and lifted an eyebrow, but I just shrugged. I had faith Prayna knew what she was doing. Before I could even finish that thought, a huge explosion erupted from the small castle. Fire blasted out from the sides of the building, and smoke billowed from all over as the place collapsed. Blah! I think now's a good time for a portal. The little blue dragon nodded, hopped on my shoulder, and closed his eyes. A portal appeared, and Prayna and Kass ran over to us as we gathered the baby dragons up and then linked arms before we stepped through the swirling air. We came out on the cliff that overlooked Dragon Valley, and before I could stop them, several of the baby dragons let out squeals of excitement and dove down into the cavern. I laughed and shook my head at their immediate recognition of their home, and then I turned to the remaining babies and smiled. You can go if you know where your families are. If not, we'll help you find them.
Two of them smiled back and then immediately dove into the valley, but the peach-coloured baby stayed in Prana's arms.
I think she needs some help.
The sorceress frowned. Well, come on, I said, and I led us down the hill toward the valley. As we came down the path we'd been on the day before, the same dark brown dragon greeted us, but this time he came to us with respect and curiosity. This little girl needs help finding her family, I told him. The great dragon let out a breath through his nose and then nodded slightly, so I knew he would assist her. Oh, that's not all, though, I said, and I set the small trunk down and opened it. This baby is ready to hatch. He needs... Oh! Before I could finish that sentence, a loud cry sounded through the air, and a huge, light blue female pushed her way over to us. Then she nuzzled the trunk so hard she nearly knocked it over.
I believe you found his mother.
Brenna smiled. As it appears so, I nodded. The blue female looked at me with glistening orange eyes, and then she pressed her head against me in a show of gratitude. You're welcome, I told her. Suddenly, the little peach-coloured girl let out a squeal and propelled herself out of Prana's arms and into the air. She glided over the massive dragons in front of us, and I watched as she flew over to a large female of the same colour who was headed toward us.
The mothers all seem to be over here.
As they do. They know this is where we usually come to release the babies.
It's good they know that. That way they can be here in case we bring their babies back. But it's also incredibly sad to think of them sitting here just waiting and hoping it's their baby we have today.
I was thinking the same thing. I sighed, and I glanced into the valley at all the other females who were gathered around, and I shook my head. I only had the two babies today, but I would come back with more. I wouldn't stop until all of these families were reunited. The large brown-colored male seemed to smile as he turned back to me and bowed his massive head. We'll be back soon with more babies. It's good the mothers are here. This is where we'll bring whatever little ones we find. He let out another huff, and I felt his breath hit my chest and face before I nodded back and led the girls back up the path.
Where are we headed now?
Back home, I said with a shake of my head. We need to figure out a plan for the Elf King.
Right.
The redhead agreed, and her fingers flexed like she was imagining wrapping them around the Elf King's throat.
I can't wait to get my hands on that asshole. That won't be as easy as you might think.
Prana shook her head. I'm sure it won't be.
I will stay a while and help you all come up with a plan. I don't have any duties at the castle for the next couple of days while Odin prepares for his party.
That would be very helpful. Bla opened a portal for us, and we all stepped through into the courtyard. The first thing I noticed was our cart was there, which was surprising since we'd left it at Ramir's the day before. The old man must have figured out a way to deliver it to our home, and I appreciated him for it. It was still somewhat early in the day, but it had been a while since breakfast, so I got a fire going and gathered up some vegetables from the garden, as well as some smoked meat and elven bread from the cart. All right, I said once I got the food on the flames. So we'll have to be extremely careful as we go after the Elf King.
Yes.
Brenna nodded.
We can't cause any issues between Alfheim and Asgard. The two realms are at peace right now, and it needs to stay that way. At least for the time being.
Right. We don't want to let the Elf King know we're coming after him.
Not yet, at least, I said with a cocky smile. The redhead pursed her lips.
As much as I want to take out that asshole, I don't think we should attack yet.
What do you mean? Yes, we have to do something.
Asta pushed with a frown.
He has dragons trapped in his dungeon.
I know.
Ira nodded.
And we'll get them out, but right now we don't know enough about our opponent to attack.
Ira's right. We need to do some reconnaissance and see what we're up against.
You mean we need to go snooping around the castle?
If we can get into the castle, that would be ideal.
I don't think that will be a problem.
Prana said with a smirk.
I'll come with.
Are you sure? You've already been with us a day.
As I said, Odin is preparing for a party. He's always greatly distracted during this time. I assure you, he won't miss me at all.
All right.
We'll go tonight, then.
Perfect.
The golden-haired sorceress smiled.
We can cast another invisibility spell.
Gas said, and Prayna nodded in agreement. Oh, that would be great, I told the two of them. We'll split up and figure out what we can about why the Elf King has dragons in the first place. There's got to be some sort of reason.
Maybe he's just an arsehole.
Ira shrugged and twisted her face to show her disgust. Well, he's definitely an arsehole. But something tells me that's not the whole story. There has to be a reason he's acquiring so many dragons.
You're right.
Ira agreed, and her emerald eyes narrowed.
He's up to something.
Yes, exactly. We'll go tonight and see exactly what that something is. The girls nodded, and I smiled at them and then pulled our food off the fire. Everyone was quiet while we ate, and afterward they dispersed to practice on their own. Gas and Prayna sat together in the grass, and every once in a while I saw some gold and red sparkles floating around them as they worked on their craft. Ira sharpened her blade, and then she used one of the trees around the courtyard to practice slicing and stabbing, while Svas flew around her and blasted the makeshift opponent with her fire. I noticed the little dragon had great control over her firepower. She was able to hold streams of flame for extended periods of time, or shoot out small fireballs that propelled toward her enemy with great force. I was impressed with her skills, especially given how young she was, and I was sure her fire would be her greatest asset when it came to battle. Asta practiced casting rain, sunshine, and snow over her blade mid-air, so it turned into different weapons. She could transform the thin sword into an axe and two daggers, then back to her blade, all in one smooth motion. She continuously improved her skills, and it was a joy to watch her grow as a warrior, especially since I'd trained her myself. Blar and Inga flew around the courtyard in a sort of play practice, while Ufe stayed on the ground and hurtled rocks at them. The three of them seemed to be having more fun than anything. But it was good practice all the same, so I let them enjoy their day and relax a little bit. My blade was enchanted to never go dull, and so I didn't have to worry about sharpening it. But I did practice throwing it and altering the length mid-air. I'd already mastered the skill, so I didn't need too much practice, but it was always good to stay sharp. It was also a good distraction from thinking about our plans that evening. I could barely wait until nightfall so we could make our way into the king's palace and figure out what he was doing with all these dragons. Unlike the dealers in the area, he didn't need money, so there was no true reason he would need to be involved in the dragon trade. And if he wanted them as pets, he wouldn't need so many all at once, since it would be better to keep one or two and train them. No, there was something else going on, and I intended to find out exactly what it was. While I threw my weapon over and over again, I racked my brain to try and figure out what the king was up to. He had such a large hand in the dragon trade, and part of me thought he was behind the whole thing in a simple attempt to make more coin. It wasn't unheard of for the rich to become greedy and unable to think about anything but money. Still, my gut told me that wasn't it. But I wasn't sure what else it could be. It seemed like forever until the sun began its descent toward the horizon, but as soon as twilight began, I gathered the girls up so Prayna and Kaas could cast their invisibility spell. Once that was done, Blar made us a portal, and we stepped through into Alfheim. It was time to see what the king was up to.